The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I understand that there are many issues, Iran, and 6 months or 8 months or 9 months.
We're all here today because we care deeply about the health and well-being of not just these kids up here, but for all kids like them all across the country. And clearly we're determined to finally take on one of the most serious threats to their future, and that's the epidemic of childhood obesity in America today.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
You got one already on the ropes, Fumfring. And the other one is already taken. The biggest threat to children in America is obesity, not Al-Qaeda. Not a nuclear bomb, not an anthrax attack. Nothing. It's an obesity epidemic. That's the biggest problem in the world for your children. Play Dino for a minute. I'll shut up for a second.
Hearts of play, tippy, tippy, tay, tippy,
I got to tell you where I'm at today on the Savage Nation. This is an ongoing 15-year saga. It's a daily... It's not like another kind of show. It's different in a sense. It's like a serial. If you miss yesterday, it's hard to catch up. But yesterday was a very manic-y high day, very excited Monday. And naturally, what always follows is the downer. Tuesday's always the down day. If I have an up Monday, Tuesday's a horror. I ask the guys who work with me. No, I've been a nice guy. I just haven't talked to them. You know, last night after the show, after talking about Iran threatening to hit us with a punch that will stun us, and we have the weaklings in America doing nothing. I mean, I went home last night and I drank and ate to excess last night. I got to tell you the truth. Now, I warn you in advance that what I'm about to say will blow off the Muslim and Jewish demo. On the other hand, I believe the Chinese and Italian demo will jump because I did have a pork chop and white wine. No, I've been on a low-fat diet for 30, 40 years, low-saturated fat. But every once in a while, you know, I try to be good. I figured I did want to drink. I made up my mind I was going to have drink. You know, I was going to drink to excess. I made up my mind. I was going to go further than normal. I was going to have more than two drinks. I mean, Iran has test-fired missiles designed to do in 6 minutes what Hitler did in 6 years to 6 million Jews. Shall I repeat that for you? Your friend in Iran, Sean Penn. Your friend in Iran, Barack Obama. Your friend in Iran, liberal Democrats, has test-fired missiles because of you. Designed to do in 6 minutes what Hitler did in 6 years to 6 million Jews. And you don't care. Instead, you're trying to push socialized medicine and thin children up a bit. That's your biggest problems in the world. So we have a military that's basically been... And I went home and I drank and I ate to excess, as I said, because, look, what are you going to do? I meant to be good. I meant to be good. I didn't mean to buy the meat. But the devil made me do it. You know, I went in the shop to shop for dinner after the show. I was going to buy fish. I took a look at it. The fish's eye, the way it looked. I just wasn't in the mood to eat another fish. I can't worry about omega-3 fatty acids at a certain on a day like yesterday. Can I worry about omega-3 fatty acids on a day like yesterday when Iran is threatening to launch something against us? And we have not one person in the government standing up to this schmuck. Not one person standing up to this schmuck. You hear? We have aircraft carriers that are basically floating brothels. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was on one. I saw the bravest men in the world, these 20-year-old kids flying $50, $60 million FA-18 Hornets, but they're not allowed to use them. They're not allowed to use them. Instead, the ship is given over to making certain that the brothel below, you know, can, the birthing clinic below goes to sea. So it brings up thoughts of death, but you figure, what are you going to do anyway, right? It's the way of all flesh. So you bought a pork chop. What are you going to do? You eat the pork chop. It was delicious. And I made it a certain way, an Italian way. Oh, man, I'm getting good at cooking. I'm getting better. I'm getting more daring. I use the vinegar pepper thing on top of the pork chop. Unbelievable. The vinegar does something to the peppers that nothing... But this is from Little Italy, what you learn from eating and sitting in the back and watching the guys in the undershirts. Now, the punchline of the story is that I get up today and I'm bored out of my mind because nothing has, like, nothing happened. Iran threatens, and Obama comes up and says, we're going to go to the UN. Listen to clip 26. You're not going to believe this.
Looking at a variety of ways in which countries indicate to Iran that their approach is unacceptable. And the UN will be one aspect of that broader effort.
Do you think this man is the right man for protecting America with the threats we have? I do not. Well, I mean, with all due respect to the presidency, this is frightening. Iran threatens to punch us in a way that we're not going to forget. Whether it's bluster or not, you cannot let the Hitler of Iran continue to run us around like we're a bunch of trained bears with a ring in our nose. And here we have a president, totally out of his league, saying that he's going to go to the UN, sounding much like Chamberlain, you know, with Hitler, only weaker. They're going to impose sanctions? I called for sanctions 3 years ago. We're way past sanctions. The only sanction is the kind that the CIA used to do 30 years ago. That's the only sanction that can be... Anyway, look. Is it any wonder that I drank to excess and had a pork chop last night? So today, to make up for it, I bicycled on a longer ride, and I go into a mall. I go into a store. It was a box store. Big stationery chain, a big box store. And I'm wearing my old bicycle clothing. I have an old coat that I save for the winters out here. I love to use it. It almost looks like a homeless coat. I refuse to wear regular bicycle clothing. I think guys look like jesters in this bicycle clothing. So I wear old clothes. I got a hat on. I got my sunglasses. I'm walking around the things in the box store. And as I'm leaving, one of the clerks said to me, are you Michael Savage? I don't know. I must have said something. They don't know me. The voice. Yeah, I said yes. She said, oh, come over here. She says, I live here, but I'm a conservative. So I yelled out in the loudest voice as I could, so what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of the liberals for? What are you whispering for? Why are you intimidated by them? I said, they're frauds. They're cowards. They're all drug addicts. I said, be a proud conservative. Speak out. So the clerk started to laugh. Another worker in the store laughed, and she said, thank you, Michael Savage. And I said on the way out as I turned from the door, I said this to her. I said, you know, God almost saved us with the accelerator pedal sticking on a Prius. But someone had a medal and recalled them, darn it. Big laughs all through the store. Play a little Dino. Do me a favor. Give me a little Dino. 1-800-449-8255.
Down the street with a pizza pie one.
Right, stop the music. I wind it up to the big pizza pie in the sky. I tried that when I was...
Hits your eye, no, like I ever hit me a pizza pie, that's
you know, it's true. I once tried when this song was out. Stop it. Has the moon ever looked like a big pizza pie to you? What was he on, the guy who wrote this song? What has the moon ever looked like a big pizza pie with mozzarella dripping from it? He must have been on acid, let alone, I mean, he couldn't have been high on red wine. Who wrote this song? I mean, Dino didn't write it, he sang it, but what do you mean the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie? You know, it's an interesting question. You really have to be stoned to think the moon looks like a pizza pie. I mean, something's wrong with the writing. But anyway, here we are. We're sitting here waiting, and we got no leadership. Why are these guys... You see, here's how I see a presidency. You know, all kidding aside. To me, a president has one job, and that's to get out of our way and protect us, making sure the military has everything it needs, but not to excess. The government, the military-industrial complex is out of control with contracting that's unnecessary. We all know that. The corruption and the greed is the same as in the government itself. But a president's job is basically national security and make the trains run on time, make the planes run on time, all connected. Their job is then to get out of our way and let us roll up our sleeves and run our lives, cut the taxes, leave us the hell alone, let us keep what we earn and give it to our children, not to you so you can spend it on boondoggles. Don't tell me about inheritance taxes. That's something out of communist Russia. If I pay taxes on my money, what the hell do you have to get 50% of what I leave behind when it's already pre-taxed money? Where the hell did they come up with this stuff? Who gave them the authority to steal three times from me is what I'd like to know. The answer is nobody. And so there's a lot of grievance in this country right now. We've had it up to here. I am the original member of the Tea Party. I've been drinking tea all my life. That's number one. But when you consider that I've been on the air 15 years holding forth 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, telling you what is wrong with the government, telling you that borders, language, and culture are the definitions of a nation, let me tell you something. We are the movement. We, everybody in this country, is the movement. And these people who run the government have to get out of our way. Here we have Iran threatening us with a punch in the nose that we'll never forget. And doofus in chief gets up there and goes, and we'll go to the UN, and the UN will save us. Have you ever heard anything like this? What do you mean sanctions? What the hell is he talking about? I say to myself. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. And to top it all off, there's more yet. There's more yet, but I'm running into the ad block. God bless the advertisers of this show. And you should, by the way, you know, I never do this. It's time you, everything that they advertise, you buy, even if you don't need it. Even if you have it, buy more of them. Show them that you love me. I was reading today in the National Enquirer. I got so bored with the New York Times, the LA Times, all of the web, the newspapers. I went to the National Enquirer this season. You know what stories. So he said, Jack Nicholson death wish. He says, the 72-year-old Oscar winner has become fascinated by Native American death rituals, including a sky burial in which the deceased is hung from a tree and left for carrion to feed upon. All right, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Darling, you sent me. I know you sent me. Darling, you.
So we have a despot in Iran, the Hitler of Iran. You know, Hitler has been reincarnated many times because he himself is a reincarnation of some ancient Caesar. So Hitler was a reincarnation of an ancient Caesar. And he's back again in the form of this little guy with platform shoes in Iran. And the man's threatening this, threatening that. The man has test-fired missiles designed to do in 6 minutes what Hitler did in 6 years to 6 million Jews. He has threatened to kill every Jew in Israel, even if it costs Iran 50% of its own population. We have the data on that one. And where is the reaction from Chairman Obama? Where is the bold warning against the enemy who has threatened us? Nowhere. He says he'll go to the UN. This is not the first time a nation led by a despot built up the military in defiance of the international community. In the 1930s, Hitler cast aside the restrictions on the size of the German military. That were imposed after World War I, and he created the Wehrmacht and the Luftwaffe. The Hitler of Iran has similarly done the same in that he's launched missiles, built missiles, enriched uranium, flaunted his nation's nuclear technology, threatened to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, and now says he's going to stun us on Thursday, and Obama, the Chamberlain of our time, refuses to do anything. What's frightening here is that if Obama were to unleash even one aircraft carrier onto this petty dictator, it would all be over in a flash. Israel does nothing. The U.S. does nothing. France does nothing. Germany does nothing. Who is going to stand up to this guy? And so it goes back to why I overindulged last night in pork chops and wine. I mean, what's the point of worrying about you? I'm going to worry about my cholesterol level. And I mean, what am I going to do? So it was very delicious. I got to tell you that. It's true. You know, what are you going to? You got to do it once in a while. Chicago, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, listen, yesterday you ran that story about the guy on the airplane with the medical marijuana and no pants. And today you're talking about that you're concerned maybe you went a little bit too far with the wine and the pork chop. You know what? I wouldn't worry about it. You had medical wine and medical pork chop. That's what that was.
You know, you raised a good point. I think I'm going to go to a medical pork chop dispensary from now on and get a prescription for eating them more often.
Then they got medical rolls.
Do you think that Obama will include medical pork chop dispensaries in the health care bill?
It could be. It would be a good thing, though. I would like that.
Yeah, how about a medical wine dispensary, since it's more therapeutic than marijuana was or ever will be, with less down effects? Why not have the government dole out wine? The government can control the wine supply as well. All right, that's all. Let's move on. So what do you want to talk about today? I'm going to make an open mic to Mike, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I have a lot of stories. Look, if I start reading them to you from my website, Michael Savage, you're going to get sick to your stomach. And I don't want to hurt you with what's going on in the world. I mean, you'd be happy. God loves you. God made you. No, I wrote that many years ago when I was into like the my own little guru thing. Be happy God made you, God loves you. It's very nice. Many a day I've thought of leaving radio and just going off to Antelope, Oregon and getting a bunch of Rolls Royces and creating a creating a little following up there. I can guarantee you that if I ever said I'm leaving radio and I want to start a new country or a new world, you know, the new, I'm going to buy 10,000 acres in the, I wouldn't do it in Oregon. Forget about that. And don't tell me about New Zealand. I don't know why all these people are moving to New Zealand. A lot of people think New Zealand's a safe haven. I'd like to remind them that New Zealand is a socialist nation. What's this all of a sudden, New Zealand? I don't get it. The years I was in Fiji, I mean, I met New Zealanders, Australians, you know. All right, so I know a lot about New Zealand, like Sarah Palin. She's an expert on Russia because she lived in Alaska and could see it on a clear day. So I learned a lot about New Zealand and Australia from having met 5 New Zealanders and 12 Australians. Look, I risk alienating my P1s by saying anything negative about Sarah Palin, so I won't say anything. Are you crazy? Are you out of your damn minds? She reminds me of a country western singer with the aw shucks pretending to be a president. What are you people, nuts? Yes, she says all the right things. Yes, she's a nice lady and her heart's in the right place. But you can see what happens when you have somebody who's unqualified step into the presidency because the people got emotional. Please don't do this to us, I say to myself. If the Republicans commit suicide with her, I quite don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you this, I'm not moving to New Zealand. That I can guarantee you. She's like Dolly Parton in her early days. Play a little country and western so they know what I'm talking about. I think we're going to mix Dolly Parton with... Yeah, that's like a Sarah... I could see that on the stage with Sarah Palin. Am I wrong? Guys, am I wrong? I'm not wrong. There goes the P1s. They're all never mad at me again. So when I first attacked Bush, they didn't know what to do. That was the end of the show for about 3 days till they came to their senses. I was right. You were wrong. Are you people nuts? Sarah Palin, president? I mean, you want Obama a second term? Go ahead. Make his day.
Savage. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
I don't want any American to ever close the door in their personal or their professional lives and put themselves in a box and say, heck yeah, I'm going to do that, or no way, I'm not going to do that, when we don't know what the future holds.
The Mama Grizzly rises up in me hearing things like that. You know, here again, cool, fine, come attack me. But when you make a suggestion like that, that certainly attacks
a
kid.
No, if you want Obama for a second term, just make sure that Palin is the Republican nominee. That's all. I didn't say she's bad. I didn't say her heart's not in the right place. I just know more about the American electorate than you do. And I know more about it than the stupid Republican Party does. And I am telling you that if they make that idiotic mistake of pushing her as their lead candidate, it's over. Obama will get a second term no matter how bad his presidency has been. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. Doesn't mean I don't agree with her politically. It doesn't mean I think she's a bad person. She's not electable as president. She does not have the, well, I don't want to use a word that was popular 8 years ago, gravitas. You want to use that one? He doesn't either. That doesn't mean that she's not the right person. We need a businessman. We need someone with guts, preferably someone who served in the military. That means we have nobody. And please don't tell me about Mr. Brown. God, please. I warned you, don't Obama-size these guys. You know, be a realist like I am. It's too early already to talk about it. We got the midterm elections to worry about before we get on to that, but it's everywhere you turn. The Tea Party convention was last Saturday. They had 400 people. I had 2,000 people at every event I've ever run. 1,500 to 2,000 people I pack an auditorium, and people pay for it. It's not for free. I don't have a handlebar mustache, you know what I'm saying, with a Bowie knife to get them in there at the door. What are you talking about, 400 people? That's all that came to the Tea Party convention? They ran it like, oh, big deal. Great, I'm glad. And they charged $500 a piece? That's their right. They wanted to pay $500 a piece? It's their business. They wanted to pay $5,000 a piece? It's their business. What are liberals complaining about? The reason they were complaining about is that they get the illegals in there and the other deadbeats who have nothing to do. They get them in there for nothing. So they hear that they get $500 a head. They went crazy. Ooh, can't we tax this somehow? Play Dolly Parton for a minute. I got a story to tell them that's going to get sick now. They're going to hear this one. All right, it's enough for it. It's not funny. Turn it up. Here's a story from the New York Times on Michael Savage. African Muslims complain Walmart gave jobs to Americans. A small group of West African Muslim men who came to the Rocky Mountains in search of economic opportunity are embroiled in a dispute with Walmart, complaining that they gave jobs to Americans, not to them. Immigrants claim Walmart fired them to provide jobs for local residents. Can you believe this? The nerve? Can you believe this? Can you believe they have the agates, the audacity to do a thing like this? Can you believe this, what these immigrants are today? They come over here and one day already, they want to run the country. It's not when Rome do as the Romans do. It's now when in Rome, drop dead. When in Rome, go to hell, we'll step on you, we'll pave the streets with your bodies. They made a complaint to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Who'd they get? Some psycho-liberal lawyer from NYU, no doubt? Wait, let me look up the lawyer here. Let me look at a lawyer here. I worked for more than 3 years. I'm looking for the lawsuit. Miss Hinjosia? Miss Hinjosia, who quit in April, blah, 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 blah. Hey, why don't they just go back to West Africa if they don't like the Rocky Mountains? Let them try to get a job in the country they came from. All 10 complaints also stated that West African workers who are Muslim were a few short prayer breaks. You hear already? 2 minutes in the country, they want 6 prayer breaks a day. I don't believe it. I'm looking at this. The country, it's wrecked. I can't believe this. An Employment Commission spokesman. Here it is, David Grinberg. Bingo! Here we go. David Grinberg already. He's got his snout into it already. I don't believe it. They're going after Walmart because they gave jobs to locals instead of to West African Muslims. Wow, what a shock that is. How disgusting. One day they're in the country already. They learn how to sue. The ACLU is waiting for them. Me, immigrant, you racist, I sue ACLU. You don't like it? You don't like it, huh? You don't like reality. They come over here from the worst countries on earth. I mean, right away, you got the lowest of lawyers, the vermin who work in clinics, these legal clinics. They're the bottom of the barrel. If they really could get a job, they go to work for a private firm and make a living. These are the losers who went to night law school. Usually they're confused mentally in every other way. They work in clinics to save the... Everyone's a victim in America, except the worker. And the real worker who pays the taxes is not a victim to these psychos. What kind of homes do they come out of in New York? How many communist families can there be in New York City to produce like an army of these lawyers, like lemmings they go out into the country? Why should I get worried about it for? What am I going to do, blow a fuse because of you? Because you refuse to do something about this? They're in the country already suing because they fired them, they say, West African immigrants gathered for prayer at an apartment in Silverthorne. How charming. Why don't you show a Christian praying or a Jew? What are you bending over backwards every time there's a story about a Muslim praying? Why are the liberals so enchanted with Islam? Why are they so enchanted with the third world? Why do they detest America so much? How did they get insane? Who destroyed their minds? Was it the drugs? Was it the carbon dioxide bubbles in the seltzer that their grandfather imbibed before procreating with the grandmother? I don't really know the answer. I believe that carbon dioxide could be damaging to the growing fetus or to the spermatozoa. And I believe that could explain the damaged mentality of so many of these. They memorize law books. They come out and they go out like to wreck the country. I'll stop right here. I will stop right here because I don't think you agree with me on any of this. Here I am, a man alone, railing against the wind like Don Quixote himself, tilting at windmills, all for your personal pleasure, watching me as Sisyphus himself pushing the stone up the hill, only to see it careen down the other side, so I have to go to the other side and push it back up. Again, Sisyphus, Don Quixote, Michael Savage, all the same to you. And so, therefore, I will go to the callers. Daniel in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I respectfully disagree with you. Sarah Palin is the only one that I've seen in the past year with guts. She's patriotic. She's passionate. I mean, we need something to believe in, and she's every place she goes, they've been trying to knock her down. She's like a David against Goliath. Please enlighten me.
She's unelectable. She has too many negatives to win the presidency. The people themselves can easily be told she does not have the experience, nor the history of experience, nor the intellectual depth to be president.
You think she's less intelligent and less than what Obama is? I mean, this man is an...
Well, you see, again, you're not listening to me. We already have a training wheel president. We don't need another one.
Okay.
Don't you think we need somebody who has some experience in the U.S. Senate, for example? Somebody who knows how the laws of the land are made and unmade, instead of another rank beginner who's going to try to come in and do it her way? In other words, Obama came in with the Chicago style, and it has not worked for him. Thank God, by the way. Thank God that, that Rahm Emanuel played Chicago politics and it backfired on them. But we don't need another rank amateur coming into the White House.
Okay, Mike. Thank you. God bless you.
All right, so they're mad at me now. What are you going to do? You know, look, it's my opinion. What do you want me to do? Goose step? Zeke Heil here? Because already they're populist already. I'm supposed to worship her. Play Dolly. No, don't play Dolly Parton. Richmond, Virginia. Dan, well, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's Danny. Sorry.
Sorry, Danny.
Dr. Savage, I agree with you 100%, but I think if I might expound upon your opinion a little bit, she's a shill. She is a shill. I had much more respect for Sarah Palin when she was coming right from the heart. Somewhat, the GOP has bought her.
Well, have you listened to what she said the other night? I almost threw up. Every line she spoke was written for her by a 10th-rate hack. Well, we're going to get those elitists in Washington. That's like Radio 101 from 1995.
She is supporting Rick Perry in Texas right now, and she is not supporting the constitutionalist libertarian GOP candidate.
You know what? Let's see where she stands in the Arizona race. When J.D. Hayworth is going to run for the Republican primary against the McCain, the Rhino, let us see which side she comes out on that one.
Join right back up with McCain.
You know what disturbs me is, this is the part that worries me a little bit. She went to work for Fox News, and at the same time, she's fundamentally running for the presidency at the same time. I mean, the last I checked, you can't do that. The last I checked is that you have to leave a media job in order to announce your candidacy. You remember? I mean, that's the way the rules are. What is this? You can't have it both ways. Either you're running or you're not. Don't play a game with the American people. We're not stupid. But look, let's put that aside. I personally think she's a good woman. I personally think her heart's in the right place. But she will lose even against Obama. That's my opinion. The reason is because they will take her negatives and they will blow them out of proportion. She's unelectable is my point.
Yes,
and you want to talk about a really sensitive issue? I can wager a bet that most women, even conservative women, will not vote for Sarah Palin. They prefer a conservative man. They don't have faith in her.
Well, I loved her before when she was actually coming from the heart. She, everything, like you said, she might as well have a teleprompter in front of her.
She does have a teleprompter. It's another one of these doofus advisors. We're telling us, say this, say that. We did all sorts of focus groups, use these hot words. Here are hot button words like elitists in Washington. Ooh, we never heard that one before. I've not heard an original thought come out of her mouth yet.
Well, I'll tell you.
Pardon me, but I'm looking for an American original. I don't think she's it.
Not it. You're one.
No, I want a Republican with experience, somebody who knows how the laws of the land are made and broken, somebody who can shop a bill through Congress and really get it done. Someone who understands, let's say a Republican man wins, and now he's got to undo some of the damage that Obama has done, and he's got to introduce some laws to save this country. Let's pick one law that I'd like to see put in place, giving the CIA the right to kill the enemy abroad without having to go to some lawyer, whatever that was. No court, no FISA Act, no federal judges to go to. The CIA can kill the enemy when he finds them. They can't do that now, which is why we're basically deballed and stalled. So you need a leader who has been experienced, who has contacts in the Senate, and he knows that in order to get a bill passed, the first thing you have to do is line up at least 12 senators on the Democrat side to get anything done. You can't just do it with your own base. Let's say there's 50, whatever it may be, and you can count on every one of your people on your side. Well, you still got the whole other side to go to. You got to start with working the 12 on the other side who are going to work with you. And then you work out from that group to the other Democrats, so you're not going to get the bill through. It's one thing to say something. It's another thing to get it done. As you can see with Obama, he says a lot and he can't get it done. Thank God. That's because they're using Chicago tactics where it does not work, which is in the Senate, which is a very, very different situation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I am definitely going to go to an... Who is that? Is that Sarah? Who's just talked on the show? Well, we're listening to Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man. And my premise is that Sarah Palin, although a good woman whose heart's in the right place, is unelectable, that she will be trounced on by the opposition as inexperienced. And of course Obama's inexperienced. He never should have won. But McCain was forced to take Palin, and that ended his campaign. I mean, you know, McCain shot himself in the foot many times. But when he made that stunning announcement of this governor from Alaska, it was the end of his campaign. The end of the campaign, he had one thing going for him. Let me repeat it again so you don't forget the past. Remember, I remember these things. That's my job. You have a whole day ahead of you where you can't remember these things. This is my job. So McCain has experience against Obama's inexperience. Unknown senator from Illinois, no experience to speak of. And McCain's running on a position of experience, and age. Although he's a rhino, he's experienced. How does he undo that experience? He takes in, as his VP candidate, the most inexperienced person he could possibly find. That was the end of it. He could have chosen a woman with experience. He could have chosen a woman in the Senate who people knew, who had legislative experience, if nothing else. That was the end of it. Immediately, the opposition and Democrats jumped on him and made a mockery of Palin. So, of course, you don't forgive them for that, but don't get emotional about it. Be a realist. I'm, you know, trying to advise you what's going to happen here. If they run Palin, it's over. Obama will be a term tour. I say take an experienced conservative senator. Are there any? Sure there are. Shelby, Alabama, Cornyn, Texas, Inhofe, Oklahoma, Jeff Sessions from Alabama, any one of those senators would be a better choice than Sarah Palin, and they're electable. You take a guy like Mr. Inhofe, this guy on his own stood up to the whole world of liars in the global warming fraud. Over and over again, this man did the right thing for the American people and for the future of America. So as I say, you know, there are other choices. Just because you haven't heard their names mentioned, it doesn't mean they're not going to be interested in running. So don't assume that she's the only possible person to run against Obama in term two. And don't for the minute think he's not going to run again. No matter how bad things look for him right now, he's far from finished. It's only year one. He's got 3 years to go to move to the center. He's got 3 years to go to mend fences with all those he's alienated. And believe me, he's not stupid. So don't start counting the guy out yet. And you got to run a candidate against him who is very experienced. I know what I'm talking about. Whether you agree with me is another story. Let's hear what you think. Let's go all over the country and see what you think. Joe in New York on WOR. What do you think of my opinion?
I think you hit the nail right on the head. I was talking to my friend about the same thing the other day, a long time. He's an independent now and Sarah Palin supporter. And I said, she's unelectable. And you're right, Michael.
I'm talking about this from the point of view of electability, not likability.
Look, I like her politics. I like where she's coming from. But you're right. It's just not going to work. And we're going to have a second term in this last year.
That's exactly right. Because what's going to happen is people are going to say, you know what? As bad as Obama was in the first year, he learned his lesson. He became more centrist. He got back. He bombed Iran, which is coming, by the way. And we can't take a chance on another ranked beginner and starting all over again.
People will be scared, and
she's like a female Obama on the other side in terms of inexperience. That's what I'm getting at, not in terms of politics. The people are not going to take a chance again with another inexperienced individual with their finger on the button, so to speak. Absolutely. You know, let's get a commander in chief who understands how defense appropriations work. Let's get a commander in chief who's actually sat on defense committees and understands where the contractors abuse the system. I mean, we need somebody who really understands this country from the inside out, not from the outside in.
I think you're the man, Michael.
Well, no, I'm not running for anything. I gave up on that. The more I thought about it, I'm unelectable. And I don't want to just make a joke out of this. There's too much at stake. I'm not Al Franken out for little fun, you know. I don't need to be fatso in the Senate playing games being a senator. You know, that was a joke. They stole that election with Acorn votes. We know that. They stole it from a rhino. I mean, the rhino got what he deserved because he was also skating a little too close to the center up there, figuring he could alienate the conservative base, but he got what he deserved. And that's why even a fraud like Fatso could win like that. A comedian in the Senate in a time like this? Why don't you just put a prostitute in next time? They're popular in Italy. I mean, prostitutes have run for office in Italy and won. You want to get into the populist thing? Get a nice hooker out there, who one of Spitz's former girlfriends. Or get somebody that Tiger Woods had a little fling with that didn't stop the News Corp from hiring her, I think. Didn't they hire her as a columnist? Didn't they just hire her for the New York Post? That was a claim. Imagine that. That's journalism today. The hooker or the girl that one of them that Tiger was having an affair with, allegedly, supposedly, maybe with the phone in the... She's already a journalist now for the New York Post. Shocking? Astounding. I never saw anything like a country. It's melting. You talk about melting down. The glaciers aren't melting. The Himalayas are not melting. The ice caps are not melting. The country's sanity is melting away. That's what's melting. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back here on the Savage Nation. I got to tell you, my bicycle today, as I looked up at Mount Tamalpais in Marin County, and I saw white clouds, cumulus clouds, coming in from the coast and kind of getting stuck on the top of the mountain, I stopped for a minute and I said, every time I see a thing like this, I know God exists. And if you don't see it anymore, go out and look at a cloud getting stuck on the top of a mountain.
Savage.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Going to win if he continues on the path that he has America on today. That's what a lot of Americans are telling him today, and he's not listening. Instead, he's telling everybody else, listen up, and I'll tell you the way it is. We want him and we want Congress to listen to what the things are that we are saying, and that's what the Tea Party movement is about, too. It's not a well-oiled, beautiful machine. It is the people saying, please hear us.
So this is Michael Savage, and once again, I'm out to ruffle your mental feathers with my actual viewpoints. I mean, I'm making it up for effect. I believe it. I was stunned to listen to her the other night. I said, no, don't do this because you're going to elect Obama to a second term. Again, let me straighten you out on this so you don't get the wrong impression. Sarah Palin is probably a very good woman, a very smart woman, a very sincere woman, but she's unelectable. And if you want Obama to have a second term, then make her the number one candidate for the Republican Party. If they commit Harry Caray again by picking someone who can't win, well, that's what's going to happen. That's my premise. You understand that. Now, there are experienced senators out there. Shelby of Alabama, Cornyn of Texas, Inhofe of Oklahoma, Sessions of Alabama. You take Mr. Inhofe. Here is a man who has single-handedly stood up to the lie about global warming. He's gone in the lion's den. He's gone to Copenhagen. He's been there when others were not doing it. I can relate to Inhofe. He should run for the presidency. I mean, you talk about global warming. You're on the East Coast. You're getting hit right now with a snow, a blizzard, or this or that. And the funny thing is the Environmental and Public Works Committee of the U.S. Senate has just canceled its hearing on so-called global warming due to the snowfall, due to the blizzard. Of course, Al Gore, the phony, is nowhere to be seen. As I said, he's the groundhog of people in that every time there's bad weather, when there shouldn't be bad weather, he's nowhere to be seen or heard. I don't know where the guy goes. But the fact of the matter is, I want to talk with you about something else. Is Palin electable, yes or no? I want to be a pragmatist here. I don't want to, you know, mislead you into thinking that I dislike her. I don't know the woman. What do I know? I mean, I know what I saw. I knew she was a mistake for McCain and it cost him the election. Any other questions? I mean, don't be naive here. And McCain had experience and virtually nothing else. He was a rhino, but he had experience, and you figured even this old grandfather would be better than Obama. Everyone knew that. So he shot himself in the foot. Why? Because they undermined him. The Republican schmucks who ran McCain, the same schmucks undermined him. They didn't want him to win. Don't you understand? I know how it works. I know how the game works. The Republicans had raped the Treasury for 8 straight years. It got too hot for them. Too many of them were going into the can. So you figure, all right, it's 8 years already. Let them win now for 4. We'll put a real schmendrick in, Obama. He'll really mess things up, and we'll come back and do it again. We'll rob the schmucks again. We'll fleece them for whatever feathers grew back. We plucked them. Let the feathers grow back a little bit. They'll come and pluck them again. We'll come up with a war in Tanzania. We'll figure out that there's a problem in Tanzania somehow, and we'll launch a war against Tanzania because that'll be good for some money, too. Come on, wake up to what's going on. So here we are. What do you think? I mean, you agree with me? You disagree with me? Whatever. You don't want to even talk about it? All right. It's too sensitive. So play Tammy Wyatt, whatever, while they're calling the Savage Nation. By the way, hold on. Don't play Tammy. No, I heard it already. It's not funny. Get me another country and western with another whiny thing with a guitar, a double banger, you know, like a crazy. Double guitar. Who's this?
I'm crazy for feeling.
Oh, come on.
So lonely.
I was never a big country. I know I'm supposed to like it because I'm a conservative. I don't know. I liked Amanoki from Finocchio. That is the last country and western song I remember. I'm still trying to catch up with my Chopin. I'm not trying to be illegal. I don't remember anything. That I like. That struck a chord with me. That should be the backdrop to the RNC with Palin on the stage. When she runs, balloons go up. Instead of balloons, they should throw beer bottles. Sorry. Beowulf, do you think that would work? They play this song, Palin comes out, and everyone throws beer bottles in the air. Which come down and hit them and come down and hit themselves on the head with it. That would be a perfect opening. I don't know where you're going, Mike. I really don't like it. Now, you really bum me out now. I've been listening to you for 15 years, Mike, but you're really going off the rails tonight with this Palin bashing. I mean, she's the best thing we have, Michael. She's like Martha Washington. She's the woman who sold the American flag herself during the Revolution. Why, her family goes way back in the roots of Alaska. Turn it off. Okay, look. I am what you get. This is what you're hearing is what I am. If you ask me in my living room what I think, great, they call it a great room today. Look at a house. You go to like real estate open. Why do they call a living room a great room? Most of them are like 8x9. What do they call it? The great room. Where'd they come up with that garbage? Another thing with real estate that I look at it, you know, it's like a hobby of mine. I have a number of properties. When did this begin that you open a real estate magazine, instead of seeing the listing, I show you the realtor in a bad outfit with rented earrings? Why? I don't care who the realtor is. It takes up to half the ad. Some hire from Mill Valley they put in there with bad lips. I mean, it's horrible. Why do they do that? Show me the house. I don't care who's selling it. It doesn't matter what the person looks like. I want to know what the house is, the square footage. I want to know how much it's selling for, and I want to know the sold and closed in the neighborhood to see whether it's a good investment. What are you telling me about the realtor? What does that have to do with anything? That's just a personal peeve. So we're talking about, you know, this and that and that and this. A rough field today, real estate. Have to become a massage therapist on the side in order to make it as real. No, if you're on the lower end of, as a realtor in certain communities today, you have to, like, take a job on the side as a masseuse in order to pay the bills. All right, so what do you want to do? You want to talk about, you want to argue over Palin? I know I'm going to get the guys, like, are going to be mad at me now. The last time let's go back. You can get mad at me all you want. This is my opinion. Make believe we're having a discussion. You don't have to hate me for this. But let me tell you something. If we do not force the Republican Party to elect a true conservative with experience, you can forget about it. Obama's going to be the president again. That's what's going to happen. Because I tell you what's coming. I'm going to give you a couple of predictions. Sometimes I'm right, like most of the time I'm right. A, there's going to be a strike on Iran. I don't know when, but he's going to use it around the election. They're trying to hold it off. if the little maniac with the platform shoes can only hold off on the Iranian enrichment a few more months, is going to play right into the hands of Obama. Because then they could hit him, and the country will rally around Obama. Yeah, oil will go through the roof, but I guarantee you, Soros already has that one covered with a little, you know what I'm saying? He's already got the long, he's long on oil. He'll know exactly before the bombs go out, before the aircraft carrier gets us orders, he'll already buy long on oil. That I can guarantee you. You know, you probably bought oil long when it should have been short. You probably, you know, bought this long when it should have been short, and that short when that should have been long. But the fact of the matter is, I can guarantee you that Mr. Soros is going to buy oil just before the aircraft fly off the decks. But that has nothing to do with you. The question is Palin electable? And if he does that, the point is that if Obama does that, his popularity goes through the roof. He's Reagan after Libya. If he strikes Iran, I don't care what you think of him, the next day his popularity is back to what Reagan was when he struck Gaddafi in the tent with the missile down his tube. Remember that one? Everybody likes a war that you can win. Everyone hates a war that you can lose. Nobody wants to bank on a losing war. That's why the wars are so unpopular, because we're mired in two wars now that no one can win because of the rules of engagement, because the politicians are running them. The same schmucks who say after the Fort Hood massacre, oh, don't even go there, the defense secretary says. When a reporter says he screamed Allah Akbar before he killed everyone, is this a terrorist event? Defense secretary says, oh, I don't even want to go there. Where do you want to go, sir? You are the defense secretary. Where do you want to go, sir? And the guy at the Joint Chiefs of Staff, his biggest problem is not defeating Al-Qaeda. It's making sure that the don't ask, don't tell is thrown out. And it becomes do ask, do tell. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Please help me. I'm falling in love with you. Close the door to temptation.
Apparently the people don't learn a lesson. Turn it off already. They don't learn a lesson. They don't understand a thing. McCain had one thing going, which was experience, and he picked an inexperienced, unknown woman, and he lost. That's why this rank amateur Obama was shoehorned into the White House. You cannot run Sarah Palin and expect to win next time. I did not say I don't like her. I don't know her. I did not say that she's not a good person with her heart in the right conservative places, because her heart is in the right conservative places. I am speaking from strictly from the point of view of electability. I believe she's unelectable. I believe that not only will the American people, by and large, outside of conservative circles, you know, outside of Tea Party Nation, everyone's a nation, by the way, except America. Did you notice that? Oakland Raiders Nation, Boston Red Sox Nation, the Savage Nation, Tea Party Nation. Everyone's a nation except the United States. How come we don't have the word nation anything to do with us? Can anyone figure that one out? Arlington, Virginia, Michelle, what do you think? Is Palin electable? Yes or no? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Dr. Savage. First of all, yes, God is in control because it's snowing again here, which means the Senate will be able to meet and the House is not meeting the rest of the week.
Yes, and the Environment Public Works Committee, which is supposed to meet today about global warming and its threat to public health, canceled due to the blizzard.
I love it. And also, you're completely right. God lover Sarah Palin is delightful, but she's unelectable, and she's already shown us that.
Now, why do you say she's unelectable? For the same reasons I do?
Exactly. And especially the inexperience, and I think leaving her governor's seat not even halfway through her term, her one and only term, and then chasing after the money with the book deal and then wanting to be on Fox to make more money and more exposure. So I just don't think she, unfortunately, has what it
takes. Right, and I'll tell you some other baggage she has, and we may as well air it amongst ourselves, amongst friends, so you don't get mad at me. Because the worst thing could happen now is that we have Obama too. And that is her relatives. There's an awful lot of baggage there with those relatives, and you know it and I know it, and the media would exploit that.
Well, and they already have with the son-in-law or the father of the grandchild, and you know some other.
Oh, it's like the Kallikaks and the McCoys. I never saw anything like it. You know, I got to go back to when people got mad at me the first time. Do you remember when McCain met her on the tarmac and her whole extended brood? All like 60 Palins were there. That when I went on the air and said, I mean, maybe I shouldn't have done it. People got mad at me. I said it looked like the perpetrators on Cops. I thought I was watching a segment on Cops. It looked like half of them had just come out of the can.
Oh, boy.
No, all right. So I say it like it is. Sometimes people don't like me for doing it. I look, there are more qualified people than Palin. Wake up. Shelby, Cornyn, Inhofe, Sessions. I didn't say any of them want to run. Again, don't you people understand that you need somebody who knows their way around the Senate to get things done? How are you going to turn this good ship of America back on the right course unless you have someone who knows how to steer the ship through the rough, rough seas and the treacherous seas of the United States Congress? You're never going to have one bill passed unless you have someone who has charted those waters before. I am using nautical phrases because they actually apply in this case. That's how I see this. Again, I don't think you all agree with me, and so therefore I'll take your calls. Incidentally, the next five callers from my new affiliate in San Francisco, Extra Sports, 860 on the dial, will get copies of Banned in Britain. But you got to get on the line right now by calling 1-800-449-8255. If you're in San Francisco and you're listening to the Savage Nation, call me right now. Anthony in New York on WOR, you're up on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I don't think Sarah Palin's the best qualified person to run for president. I like Inhofe personally.
People may not know who Inhofe is, but this man is not only experienced, but he's actually a man who does something. He's fought the global warming lie. He went to Copenhagen all alone. He was there alone, like Daniel in the lion's den in the Senate, when people were all lining up like lemmings on the global warming bandwagon. He stood up to the global warming liars, the alarmists. He is very qualified. He's actually done something. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Bakersfield, California. Ralph, what's on your mind, Ralph?
Dr. Mighty Michael Savage. It's a privilege, sir. The stars have aligned.
So what do you think about Palin?
Well, you know, I think that she has the belief system and the ability to run the country from that conservative platform. I think she gets what made this country great, but I don't think she's electable. I'm afraid to say that they would paint her as a dummy, leaving her governorship and just the whole thing, writing these things on her palm, her notes on her palm.
Where did that come from? What is she, like a stupid student wrote the answers on her hand? Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. They zoomed in on it on Channel 30.
My God. Yeah, I heard of it. So she was giving a speech at the Tea Party thing, and she had to look at her hand like a student who didn't remember the answers?
Exactly.
My God. Well, what would you say is worse, using a teleprompter or using a note on your hand?
I think she had to use both.
You know, look, if guys can't have a discussion like this, you know, what am I, a member of the Communist Party USA where I'm not allowed to agree, I'm not allowed to disagree with the conservative movement? What, are you kidding me? I founded the conservative movement in America. I mean, who was at the helm for 15 years? Me. So people should respect the fact that at my age and with 15 years in the business, I have a right to tell you what I think. I don't care whether it offends you. I offend liberals every day. Why can't I offend the knee-jerk conservatives?
Absolutely, Michael.
Thank you. Let's hear it for that. You know, we hear the phrase knee-jerk liberal. Fine. We know what that means. Did you ever hear the phrase knee-jerk conservative? Well, you have if you listen to this show. A knee-jerk conservative, when they hear the word elitist already, they think the person's telling them the truth. All right. We can go on. We don't have to talk about that. 1-800-449. You're not worried about Iran. You're worried instead about obesity. Did you hear Michelle Obama? What is the woman? It's like the two of them. What world do they live in? Play the Michelle Obama. The greatest threat to our children is obesity. And you ever hear anything like this? Oreo is a bigger threat than a nuclear bomb.
We're all here today because we care deeply about the health and well-being of not just these kids up here, but for all kids like them all across the country. And clearly we're determined to finally take on one of the most serious threats to their future. And that's the epidemic of childhood obesity in America today.
I'm sorry. So you've heard of the Twinkie defense. This is the Twinkie threat from Michelle Obama. That it's those nasty Twinkies that the Islamo-fascists are going to drop from a missile. They're going to fire a missile in from Iran, and it's going to drop Twinkies all over the inner city, and it's going to destroy children across America. Are they kidding me? That's the most serious threat, is a missile with incoming Twinkies. God, how does this happen? How could I live in a country that's so superficial?
Savage.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
everybody. I am glad to see that all of you braved the weather to be here. A little while ago, I had a meeting with the Democratic and Republican congressional leaders, and it went very well. In fact, I understand that McConnell and Reid are out doing snow angels in the South Lawn together. Can you picture that, Chuck? Not really.
The Savage Nation. Let's listen to Earth Angel for a minute, then we'll go and argue about Sarah Palin's electability, whatever. I'm going to go to a medical pork chop dispensary right after the show today and see if I can get another fix.
I'm just a fool.
Oh, man, sweet me. I got to tell you, poor pig. Everything lives. Turn it off. Everything wants to live, Aaron. What are you going to do? Everything wants to live. The Democrats want to live. The communists want to live. The socialists want to live. The anarchists want to live. You know, what are you going to do? So if it comes down to live and let live, that's great. But when they don't want to let you live, I guess that's what war is all about. So we have the maniac in Iran, Hitler's descendant there, screaming he's going to punch us on Thursday. We'll see if it's just hyperbole or real. I can't imagine he would name a date that they're going to do it and lose face like this. In other words, they're into hyperbole and threats. We know that. But if I were the head of, like, the FBI, Defense Secretary, Homeland Security, instead of looking at anti-abortionists or, let us say, returning combat veterans or conservatives on the radio, you know what? I might turn my investigatory apparatus on the Iranians in America or the mosques in America or the Hezbollah agents in America. You know, it might pay off. It might pay off if you took all your agents off the beat that you put them on, get them off the backs of the people who are against abortion, the returning combat veterans, the Tea Party members, and, you know, put them on to those places, and just maybe if they do try to do something, they wouldn't be able to do it, you know? It might really work to the advantage of the American people. Which leads us back to where we began. Not to the fact that I ate a pork chop last night and drank too much wine because of the threats from Iran and I needed a break. Or the joke that I'm going to go to a medical pork chop dispensary today to get a double dose of pork chops so I can run around in a plane and with my pants down. You imagine that? Guy uses that as an excuse. He took two brownie cookies with marijuana so he was able to rip his pants. So imagine this. Now, in San Francisco, I realize that walking around without your pants in City Hall is considered the norm of dress, the dress code behavior in City Hall. Be no shock by that, because after all, you don't want to be judgmental. If a man takes his pants off, it's his right. It's his lifestyle choice in San Francisco. But let's get serious here for a minute. Let's talk about Palin. When I see that she wrote notes on her hand for the Tea Party thing the other night, and I hear the things that come out of her mouth that are so hackneyed, I said, no, please, somebody has to stand up to this concept that she's electable, because I don't believe she is. Again, I know you're going to get mad at me the way you did in the early years of the Bush administration, when I dared take on Bush, when I saw what he was doing, when I saw his tendencies, when I saw he was becoming a fiscal socialist and called him that. Many of you hated me. You stopped listening to me. You said I'm this. You said I'm that. But then you came back to the show and you said, you know, Mike, you were right. I thought about it and you were right. You see things before I do. And I do. That's why I'm in this business so long and why I survive. I'm not boasting in a way. I realize I can be boastful. I realize it can be overly boastful. I recognize that that's a character flaw. I accept that, but that's my nature. Certain men have character quirks. That's in my nature. I'm boastful. Okay, so forgive me my nature. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. Some people are very humble and they're idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. Some people boast a lot and they happen to be right every time. I'm that type. That's all. It's as simple as that. So you'll see that I'm right. And as time goes on, I think you'll come to agree with me. I didn't say I dislike Palin. I don't know her. I didn't say that she's not right politically. She is right politically in everything she says. But she's not electable. The opposition will destroy her on her weaknesses. I am a Machiavellian when it comes to who can win and who can lose. She can't win. Phil in San Francisco on my new affiliate, 860 on a dial. God bless you for listening. What's on your mind, Phil? Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. Listen, I got to agree with you. I don't think she's electable, too, but I think that McCain lost partly because he took the freaking center. I mean, he should have been a staunch conservative. He might have won with her as VP. I think what the Republicans need to do is put her out there and let her campaign for a conservative presidential candidate, because she has a draw, and people do like her message.
You are absolutely right. In other words, after another few years, they're going to come to know her better. She's got to get her act together. She could be a good VP candidate. She cannot be the lead on that ticket.
That's right. And if, even if she's not a VP candidate, she can help push a good conservative.
Well, let's put our heads together here, Phil, and everyone else listening to Savage Nation across the 400 affiliates I have, the 10 million listeners. Listen to me. You and I both know that Hillary Clinton is going to run in the primaries against Obama. You don't have to be, let us say, a betting person to understand that it's a high likelihood that Hillary will run against Obama in the primaries. And she's liable to win because she's going to run as a centrist with experience. She's a known quantity, et cetera. And her machine is ready to go. Now, can you imagine a matchup between Hillary Clinton and Sarah Palin? I don't think that that's something that you want to watch happen. I really don't. I do not want to watch Sarah Palin go up against the leopard.
Yeah, she's Hillary's got too much credentials behind her and too much of a machine behind her.
How are you going to take a woman who left her job as a governor of Alaska and run her up against the Secretary of State? No matter how mixed her job actions have been, Hillary's been a terrible Secretary of State, but there's nothing new in that. She's done nothing like all of them. Why, Warren Christopher did something, or Legs there, Legs Diamond, whatever her name was, Meatloaf, that lunatic who wrote a book called Pins. The last one, what was Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, one of the ugliest hags in the history of politics, writes a book about her life called Pins because she thinks she has great legs because the North Korean dictator liked them. I couldn't believe when the woman came out with the book. It sold 1,200 copies. But so, in other words, the Secretary of State are notorious for doing nothing. But nevertheless, she flew in Air Force One. She flew in Air Force One for 8 years. She knows every world leader on the planet. There's no way in the world that you're going to get a person who was the governor of a small state to beat her. Impossible.
I agree. Did you hear about that?
We're not talking about me. We're not talking about my listeners. We're talking about the country as a whole.
Did you hear about that gal in Illinois who they took their citizenship away from?
Why?
Well, because they say her father was not a citizen. It goes back to the rule where if you were born to a single citizen of the United States, the citizen had to have been in the United States for 10 years of their life and had to have lived 5 years of their life before the age of 14, or after the age of 14.
Wait a minute. What about all the illegals coming in from Mexico with a child on the doorstep the day they get here and the child's an instant citizen? How did that happen?
Yeah, but this points to one of Obama's birther things, is they're saying that his mother was 18 when he was born, but she was not here for 5 years after the age of 14 when he was born. So he's technically not a citizen, and they're taking
it. Well, I know the issue, and I'm not one to dismiss it, nor am I one to make it into a big deal, because it's a given that he's president. And if you think, even if you could prove he was born in Kenya or he's not a citizen, that they're going to throw him out of office for that, you're mistaken. It'll never happen. It will not happen. You see, this is another red herring in a way, and all it does is diminish the right wing. I got to tell you right now, I know many of my friends are into this very heavily. I don't personally know whether he's a citizen or not. There's a high likelihood he's a citizen of Indonesia or Kenya. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, why beat a dead horse? He's the president, for God's sakes. How can you keep hammering a thing like this and expect to win the center?
Yeah, I just hope that we can take away any of the legislation that he's signed on someday.
Well, maybe you could take away some of his credibility as time goes on, but you're not going to get him out of office. It will never happen. Remember how things happen in this country. We live in a democracy. Whether you like it or not, it's a republic, not a democracy. I understand that. But everything happens through the vote, by and large, other than through executive order. No matter what the people say, no matter what the people do, it still must come up for a vote in that party of 100, the senators. They're going to determine whether or not he retains his presidency. You think they're going to go along with this? You think they're going to cater to the right wing? They're never going to do it. Even if they're right, they're not going to do it. Do you understand that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
No. See, again, I am talking to myself. Michael in San Francisco, 860 on the dial. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation out of San Francisco.
Nice having you back in San Francisco, Dr. Savage.
Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. But you disagree with me on Sarah.
Yeah, for my opinion is, even though that she does have a lot of baggage, she's the best we have, in my opinion, so far, even though it's very, very early before the next election.
Well, she's exciting the base. She's saying the right things. However, you're talking about something quite different when she has to go up and debate Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, don't you think?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, all right. Stay in the line and sending you a copy of Banned in San Francisco by Michael Savage. Actually, I should write the book. I'm not exactly banned in San Francisco, but I've self-banished myself from the city. I never, the murder now, the murder, the dirt, it's unbelievable. I still got to go to the restaurants I like. I go to the Italian restaurants I like. What am I going to do? Stop going there. It's unbelievable to me. There's a murder happened. I got to tell you, I put it on my website. I try to give money to the woman's children. An Indian woman, Vallejo, California. It's become gang-ridden. Illegal aliens from south of the border. You know, the ones that all come here to work that you're supposed to worry about every second. You better worry about them. They're out of control in California. No one wants to whisper the known. They are out of control. So here's a woman working on an ice cream truck. Her husband died a couple of years ago. Indian woman, immigrant, you know, the good immigrants, the ones that come here to learn English and work hard. You know what I'm talking about. Not all immigrants are alike. Not all countries of origin are alike. And not all the ethos in all these nations are not similar. But the Indians, as you well know, come here. They learn a language. Within 3 months, the child wins a spelling bee, even though they didn't speak. They spoke Hindi and then they learn English and they win a spelling bee in 3 months. Another ones here, 25 years, they can't spell other than I sue. But anyway, so the woman's in an ice cream truck making a small living, ecking out a living. A 15-year-old illegal alien gangbanger escapes from a juvenile home, and him and with another piece of garbage, 17 years old, they hold her up. The woman doesn't speak English well enough. She doesn't get it fair. She's scared. They shoot her. They shoot her, and they shoot her, and the woman's almost dead. It just almost killed me. So I'm trying to give money to the kids and try to start a fund for the kids. We've contacted the Hindu temple in Vallejo. And we're trying to get that up. I just can't believe what goes on in this country. And then you take a look at the police chief. I think it's a woman making $400,000 a year in the city. The cops are underpaid. The chief is overpaid. The pensions broke the city in half. Something's got to give, not only in Vallejo, California, but in the whole country. And I told you what's coming. It's inevitable. In L.A., they're laying off 1,000 workers. That's Villagarosa finally woke up. He's doing the right thing. Here's a liberal who's a fiscally conservative liberal. That's the trend that's going to come through America now. A fiscally conservative liberal is going to be the new thing on the horizon because it's inevitable. They know they can't raise taxes because they'll destroy business. So they have to start firing. Okay? Now, what do you think is going to come next? Just firing workers that were never necessary to begin with because they were patronage jobs is not going to do it. They're going to have to make an across-the-board retroactive pension cut for city employees. And I can guarantee you it's going to happen in cities and states across America. It never happened on the federal level. As you well know, they'll be insulated. They'll collect these fat cat pensions forever because if the senators were ever asked, well, we want to vote on cutting pensions, federal pensions across the board, they'll say never because it'll hit us. But it will happen, possibly will happen on the city and state level. Do I want it to happen? I have no opinion on the matter. I know that otherwise we're finished. I'll be right back. Savage. You know, when the weather turned really bad last year, pardon me, toward the end of last year. Remember I was saying it was just before Copenhagen, the blizzard hit Europe, and Obama could hardly land at Dulles or wherever he lands? I said, this is God's hand. Remember that? And now, blizzard after blizzard after blizzard burying. They can't even have the environmental meeting today in the Senate on global warming. Al Gore's nowhere to be seen. Don't you understand the scam has been exposed? This is an amazing turn of events, and you have to say that there's a supernatural force involved. I do. I look at it that way. You can't prove me wrong. You can say, well, it's just chance. How can you prove that I'm wrong? How can you prove God doesn't still love America enough to have stopped what these socialists are doing to this country? You can either believe it or not believe it. You could say that it's hokum. But the fact is, it's very unusual that just before Copenhagen, the storms hit, Obama can't land. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Now there's supposed to be an environmental hearing today on global warming, and it's canceled because of the snow, the blizzard. If you can't put two and two together, then you must be a Democrat. Sacramento, Gracie, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, it's a great honor to speak to you, Michael. This is the first time I've been able to get through. I was just going to say I'm a conservative, and to all our conservatives out there, I just want to say that we have too much riding on the line right now, that line being our country, to take a chance letting Sarah Palin run.
the media would make mincemeat out of her the way they did the first time when she was introduced. And what was she doing, winking at the camera or something like that? They would make mincemeat out of her the second time
around. My point is not that I don't like her, not that she is not saying the right things, not that she's not a true conservative. I don't agree. She is a true conservative. I truly believe that. She's fiscally responsible, but she's unelectable for the reasons you just mentioned. You have to live in the real world. She's unelectable, in my opinion.
And I
thank you for the call. I mean, many of you will agree, you know, or disagree with me. Richard in San Francisco on 860 on the dial. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Yeah, Michael, I'm a former Marine, and I first want to say I have a lot of respect for you, for what you did for the Marines and for Lieutenant Bahena. But I've got to say you're wrong on this. Sarah Palin, she's got morals and convictions, which I can't say for any of the others. Where were the Republicans when all these things were going down in our country and speaking out? The other thing is, this talking about her leaving the governorship in Alaska. Hold on.
You say, where are their convictions? What about Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma, who has single-handedly worked around the clock to expose the global warming fraud?
Okay, and what has he done about the rules of engagement, which is damaging our troops?
What has she done about the rules of engagement, which is damaging our troops? Nothing.
Well, she's not in political office anymore. But
has she ever addressed that issue? I don't think so.
No, I agree with you on that. She hasn't.
I'm the only one addressing the issue. I don't know anyone in the media who's addressing the issue. I'm the only one who exposed Representative Jack Murtha for having fraudulently accused our Marines for a massacre that never occurred in Haditha, taking the lie that came from the insurgency itself, fed to the left-winger Tim McGurk of Time magazine. I'm the only one who did it. I don't know anyone else in the media who did it.
Well, yeah, and let me say something about this notes on her hand. Okay, she wrote a couple of notes. President Bush and Ronald Reagan had cards. She was speaking from the top of her head there. She just had a few notes there. Obama can't even talk without a teleprompter, and he can't even pronounce Corman. The guy is a moron.
But listen to me. I'm not comparing her to Obama. I am saying that we have a president who is inexperienced, who is using a teleprompter, and the people have come to understand that, and they don't like it. They see it for what it is. And I think for exactly those reasons, she will also be vulnerable should she choose to present herself as a presidential candidate. But we can disagree on this without being angry at each other. After all, we are men. We are conservatives. We are not liberals. We don't have to get mad at each other and hang up on each other. Stay in the line, Richard. I'm going to send you a free copy of Band of Britain for listening to me on my new affiliate in San Francisco. Extra Sports 860 on the dial. What a signal. 50,000 flamethrower watts up and down the West Coast. But I still have hundreds and hundreds of others to cultivate and to water every day on the Savage Nation. Don't think I've left you. I love every affiliate I have. Let's go across the country to New York City. Vinny, New York City, go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Vinny? Vinny is gone. There you go. That's what I call a sleep at the switch. New York City, WR Mike. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah.
Also, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about Sarah Palin. I disagree with you on a number of points that you made about Sarah Palin, about her electability and everything else. First of all, she's the governor of Alaska. She has experience. Everybody's saying she has no experience.
Well, my friend, she was governor for 2 years, and she left to take a job with Fox News, so you're half right.
What's wrong with that? She at least has 2 years of experience as the governor of Alaska.
Well, that's like Obama had a couple of years in the Senate. Do we need another neophyte in the Senate, in the presidency? I don't believe so. I think America is going to want more experience rather than less next time around, precisely because we see what the lack of experience has brought with Obama.
True, that's true. But all the people that you mentioned on your program who have more experience, Romney, Huckabee, Pawlenty, Gingrich.
I didn't mention either of them. I didn't mention Huckabee. I think he's a fraud.
Savage. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Everybody, I understand that there are many issues, Iran, and 6 months or 8 months or 9 months.
Well, there it is. There's President Obama hemming and hawing at the White House press conference today. Of course, we telegraphed it in a bunch. I mean, look, it's not sad to watch the great imposter, you know, having his mask fall off. But the fact of the matter is, it's frightening. The man has not been able to push through virtually anything with a consent of Congress, nor with the consent of the people. Whatever he has been able to push through has been through, you know, basically backroom deals right in the beginning, you know, TARP, stimulus, all of that good stuff for Nancy and her friends that no one's seen a dime of. But he can't get any of his major, thank God, because he lives in a democracy. He lives in a democracy. That's the problem for him. This is not Chavez's Venezuela. It's not Iran. Now, am I suggesting he would like it to become that? I don't know to the extent to which he let it roll if he was given absolute power. You know, I really don't. But I know this. He has every tendency of showing Marxist tendencies, let's put it to you that way. Anyway, here are some of the topics that we absolutely must touch on the Savage Nation today. I mean, they're a must. You look at them. They're on michaelsavage.com. Let's start at the top. Obama caves, Iran Hitler raves. Next one. Top Canadian military official charged with murder. Next one. And I know this is a conspiracy theory. Was Murtha killed to bury his ties to defense contracts? That's a long shot. But it says that Murtha was basically died because his large intestine was damaged during gallbladder surgery at Bethesda Naval Hospital. Now, I want to ask you something. Aren't they supposed to have, like, the best medical care in America? Listen to me. These guys have the elite care, the best surgeons in the country. Why would that have happened? So, you know, this guy was under investigation for years, going back to Abscam. And it's like, you know, go away. That's all. Obama rejects starting over on health care. That's today. And he says he's going to have to accept the fact that he's going to push back and get all or nothing. Michelle Obama says he's not done yet. She's obsessed with child obesity. She says that one of the most serious threats to the future of America's children is the epidemic of childhood obesity. What? I would have thought it would have been a dirty nuke or something along those lines, or let's say an anthrax attack, whatever our friends from Iran may be planning for us. But no, I was wrong. It's those Twinkies. Here's another one on Michael Savage. ROM-rammed by own Dems. I'll repeat it. ROM-rammed by own Dems. Huh. How do you like that? You see, it's an interesting article in The Hill. I read it carefully. It's very interesting the way they wrote this. Somebody really knew what they were talking about. I was impressed with the article because they said when they first came to power the Chicago machine, Rahm Emanuel was the right man for the job because he bulldozed everybody into, you know, getting his way. But now it's apparent that Obama's domestic priorities have been derailed because Rahm tried scorched earth policies. And a senior lawmaker said, I think he did miscalculate the Senate. He did what he thought he had to do to win. Now, what does that mean? It's very interesting. Here's what they say. Is that it says, in the Senate, you have to anchor in the middle and build out, said the lawmaker. You hear this? They went on to say they just wanted to win. Their plan was to keep all the Democrats together and work like hell to get Snow and Collins. Those are the rhinos. The Senate doesn't work that way. You need a radius of 10 to 12 from the other side if you're going to have a shot. So in other words, you need a consensus. And this is not The Chicago Machine does not deal in consensus politics. They deal in basically machine gunning the opposition, you know, verbally. You hear? Now, you read on, and it gets very interesting because there's something here that I thought really is very, very indicative. It said, once Obama decided to make health care the top priority, Emanuel, that's Rahm Emanuel, approached it with his signature hard-charging style, and that didn't work in the Senate. A liberal House Democrat who served with Rahm Emanuel during his entire career in Congress said, I don't think the skills that are attributed to him, muscling things through, are well-suited to the Senate. And here comes the punchline. The House is like an Australian rules rugby match, the lawmaker added. But the Senate is like a march at a men's club in Imperial Britain. There are a bunch of barons over there. So in other words, he tried to push around the senators, and they pushed back. And that's it. And I think that they're unskilled at dealing with an actual Congress. They're skilled at dealing with, you know, Chicago. That's the whole story. So the question is, will the Dems lose big in November? Will they lose because the health care bill was bad, or the strong-arm tactics of Rahm Emanuel and Obama and Axelrod jamming things down the American people's throats, backroom deals, no tort reform? Is that what's going to put them, you know, put them away? I don't know. We have to look very carefully at what's actually going to happen. And that whole story can be read on michaelsavage.com. We're a crippled nation. We're crippled because we have a bunch of nincompoops running everything. We've got the best Navy in the world that doesn't fire a shot. And then when they do, they hold the captain up for a court-martial because he may have killed a pirate. And I was reading a sailing magazine how the British originally treated Muslim pirates that they caught. See, way back in the early 1800s, it was the Muslim pirates from the area known as Somalia and also the west coast of Africa that were hijacking merchant ships, killing the crew and stealing the bounty. And I told you before that the U.S. government created the U.S. Navy warships, and the Leathernecks, the early Marines, wore leather around their necks because they jumped aboard the pirate ships and killed them with swords and guns, and the leather around their necks was to protect their necks from a saber blow by the vermin, the piratic gnomon, vermin. Okay, we all know that. We know basic history of the formation of the U.S. Navy. But when the British caught pirates, they would execute them on the spot, but they wouldn't throw them in the sea. They would take their filthy carcasses back to town, and they would put them in cages in the middle of town, and they would forbid the family from retrieving the carcasses of the pirates until they rotted on the bone. They made them sit there for sometimes years, rotting in public with flies on them. And you know it had a dampening effect on piracy? Would you believe? Would you believe that not bringing them to New York for trial or not giving them a $3 million a payout in the form of a whatever they give them doesn't work? Would you believe that? That worked better than giving them $3 million in ransom? How do you like that? That killing a pirate and putting his carcass in a cage in his hometown and making the cage sit there until the flesh rotted off the bone was actually a greater deterrent than putting them on CNN and asking them what their grievance was? Can you imagine how stupid the old British were and how smart they are today for catering to the Muslim pirates? But we're not far behind. We have a Navy with able-bodied seamen. We have very brilliant men running the ships. And we don't use them. Instead of blowing their dhows out of the water from 8 miles away, when you see them coming, you can see them coming. They can be picked up on a radar screen, God knows how many miles away. The touch of a button, and the pirate ship is gone, with the goats and their wives and their children if they take them along in order to cover themselves like they did for years. And it tends to reduce piracy when you kill a pirate. I don't know how that works. How does that work, that when you blow up pirates, there tends to be less piracy, but when you give them a reward in the form of a ransom, there tends to be more piracy? Does anyone know how that works? Can anyone explain that? Why would killing the pirates in a fairly high number tend to reduce piracy, while giving them the honey they're asking for, meaning ransom, tends to increase piracy? Can anyone figure it out? Because Obama can't. My friends. I hate that phrase. It's like Benjamin Franklin from high school. Friends, Romans, and countrymen. Caesar, Julius Caesar. Remember that? I read that. I can't call you my friends. You don't know me. I'm not your friend. All right. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Dems are still pushing what they call health care reform, even though time after time, we, the American people, have rejected these changes. And joining us now is Terry Michael, who recently had an article in the Washington Times entitled "An Obit for Health Care Reform." Terry Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you very much for having me on. I'm looking forward to this because health care reform has become one of my favorite topics.
So what do you mean by an obit for health care reform?
Well, I actually am old enough to recall when health care reform was born, and that was very recently. Most people don't know. It was really 1991, and I'm talking about health care reform as a political issue. It actually was born the year I was born, in 1947, when the federal government decided that employers, in lieu of wages during World War II wage price controls, could give employees tax-exempt health insurance, and that started the whole problem because it divorced price from cost, and it all went to hell after that.
Well, what do you think caused the demise?
Two things led to its doom. Number one, in the 1960s, we made the problem worse by creating a mixed health care funding system in this country, not just private insurance, but then we put the federal government with its heavy weight into this, and with Medicare and Medicaid, and then health care costs started skyrocketing faster than the American waistline. And then it became very politicized thanks to a couple of populist campaign consultants in 1991 in a special election in Pennsylvania. I won't go into the details, but I'll just say that their names were James Carville and Paul Begala, and they helped bring back to life a Senate candidate that year by, frankly, demagoguing on health care with populist kind of rhetoric, and then they took that into the Clinton campaign in 1992, and then Mrs. Clinton took it to the White House in 1993, and a funny thing happened to the Clintons in 1994. They lost the Democratic Congress because of their big health care plan. But it didn't teach Democrats a lesson. Mrs. Clinton then took it into her 2008 campaign, and the other candidates had to respond. So newcomer Barack Obama came up with his own health plan, and John Edwards came up with his own health reform baby. Unfortunately, he took that too literally, apparently later on. And so you had populist demagoguery on the subject, and then Obama brings it into the White House. It was really consultant-driven, and that's the problem. It wasn't consumer-driven. The American people didn't want a big health care plan. All they wanted were lower insurance rates and no pre-existing conditions. Otherwise, they were pretty satisfied.
What caused Obama's so-called health care plan to collapse?
Well, I would say if you want to blame somebody, blame the marketplace. That is the American people. There was no market for a big government health care program. It wasn't crazy Tea Partiers. It was a majority of the American people, particularly a majority of independent voters, who really gave Barack Obama this election. Yes, he had to rely on his Democratic base, but the base voted for him in 2008, not because he was going to deliver health care, but because he was anti-war. And the independents weren't seeking health care. In other words, it was a marketplace problem. Politicians, when they ignore the market, called voters in this case, are going to pay a price for that. And he paid the price by exactly what happened to the Clintons in 1993, being pictured as a big government liberal, when he really wasn't painted in that way during the 2008 campaign. He really undercut himself with this program. And you see right now how much talk there was of health care reform in the State of the Union address. It was almost ignored as much as the war in Afghanistan that he started.
Well, the left keeps saying it's not over yet.
They have to play to their base. They have to not give up hope to the left liberal, economic left liberals in the Democratic Party base. And I'm really talking about the base that exists inside these 10 square miles surrounded by reality in which I'm sitting right now, the DuPont Circle, AFL-CIO, K Street wing of the Democratic Party, people who want to, in effect, complete the New Deal, which was the battle cry of the 1960s, but they haven't given up the ghost on that. So it really, once again, is not market-driven. It's not customer that is voter-driven. It's driven by the hallucinations and imaginations of left liberal Democrats in Congress. And they have to be thrown a bone, and that's why Pelosi and Reid are still holding out hope, but it's dead. It's deader than a doornail.
But what about a real health care reform bill, tort reform and whatnot?
Well, I think if Obama had just understood what the American people really wanted, they didn't want universal health care. They wanted to somehow lower insurance costs and get rid of pre-existing conditions. It would have been possible, I think, to have negotiated this with Republicans in return for tort reform, which is their major desire in terms of health care reform, and come out with some kind of modest plan that might have also included the right of insurance companies to write policies across state lines, which is a huge problem because they can't create risk pools that would allow them to take out pre-existing conditions. In other words, do a modest plan. But I don't think it's possible this year now with the new focus on jobs and an election coming up. It would be possible maybe next year after the election is over to try something and to try to get Republican support, but I don't think that we're going to get it this year. I think that so-called Tea Party movement is really a reflection of general dissatisfaction out there in among independent voters. And I think it really is dangerous for Democrats to think that this was an anomaly, that these were simply crazy people out there. And Democrats will pay a price if they ignore what I think is an increasing movement that understands we are really busting the federal budget. And we have a lot of people of my age coming online for retirement benefits and Medicare. And if we don't do something pretty quickly to reduce the expenditures of this government, we're not just going to have health care problems. We're going to have major problems for the next generation of voters.
Terry Michael, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Joining us now on the Savage Nation for his exclusive update on the health care non-debate is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks, Michael. This week, we're going to follow up with a story we covered last week on the Savage Nation, and this was out of Europe. The news that they had basically started banning dietary mineral supplements. And this goes back to the 1960s when something came out of the United Nations called Codex Alimentarius. And that's a mouthful, but it's not good and nutritious because what the guideline was or the thought form was that they wanted to basically water down the nutrients available to people of planet Earth down to such low levels that they would be negligible into their impact on health from a positive perspective. Of course, it would be claimed that it would be in the name of safety. We want to harmonize all of the world's laws, make them the same. Have we heard of this globalist agenda? It's not new. And as I said, in a nutrient-based way, we recognize that the biggest threat to certain industries, believe it or not, the health of the people. Because when the people are healthy, not only, of course, do they need less medicines, less drugs, less intervention, but they have the ability to see with clarity the corruption within their governments, and ours included. And so as we promote ideas such as good nutrition and whole foods, unadulterated by man's arrogance, we have now the government, or let's say the party of big government. And you're thinking, well, it must be the Democrats. They're striking again here. They'd like to see global governance, wouldn't they? But no, this week it comes from the other party of big government, the Republicans. That's right. News this week breaking. John McCain. Would things have really been different if he were president? He has now put forward some legislation in the Senate, a new bill that would attack Americans' access to supplements and would repeal key sections of what is known as the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994. Michael, this is actually one of the better things that came out of this so-called Republican Revolution and the contract with America, or for America or on America. I mean, these are arguments now as we look back because the growth of government still shot through the roof under their reign as well. But that was a good thing in 1994. The American people spoke. It was a grassroots movement. More letters, cards, phone calls, whatever they have, faxes to Congress than at any time in history since the Vietnam police action. So this was huge. And the Americans were heard, and they passed this protective mechanism so that dietary supplements couldn't be arbitrarily taken off the market unless they were proved to be truly harmful. So now McCain comes out and says, hey, we need to protect the American public even more. As if what the federal government actually protects the American public. Let's just look at the track record of the Food and Drug Administration, shall we? And this happened, we've covered this on the Savage Nation as well. It bears repeating, though. The Barbara Starfield report published in the JAMA Journal in 2000, showing that 225,000 Americans die every year due to FDA-approved medicines, drugs. Now, safety, apparently not the issue. Do they work? Well, we've covered also these SSRI drugs that don't even work better than placebo. So what are we left with here? 225,000. Let's just take 2 years, for instance, here. So we can maybe educate John McCain on the Savage Nation right here, right now. That means 500,000, a half a million Americans in the last 2 years have died due to FDA-approved meds. Okay, that's in the journals. No big deal, right? It is a big deal if you have a culture or believe in a culture of life. But I apparently I can't seem to find that in a big government Republican Party, much less the big government Democrat Party. So what does this mean? How many? Because maybe we should give McCain the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps there are untold scores of deaths due to dietary supplements, food supplements. Could that be the case? Maybe McCain's really looking out for us. Do you know how many deaths were attributed to dietary supplements over the last 2 years? The same time frame where half a million Americans perished due to FDA-approved drugs. Turns out it's a big, fat goose egg. Zero deaths. So the U.S. National Poison Data System reports zero deaths. In fact, we look at all the natural supplements that are out there, and there are loads of them. There are literally hundreds of billions of doses happening throughout the United States every year. Hundreds of billions is an understatement, and zero deaths. Now we're including vitamin A, C, D, E, vitamins B, multivitamins. We're talking about herbal products like blue cohosh, echinacea, ginkgo biloba, ginseng, kava kava, St. John's wort, valerian, yohimbe, Asian medicines, Ayurvedic medicines, or any other botanical. No deaths, not even from creatine, blue-green algae, nothing from glucosamine or chondroitin, no deaths on melatonin. And of course, obviously, no deaths from a homeopathic medicine. And so when we're looking at all these things, we look at the minerals. Maybe there are dangerous minerals, Michael. No, evidently nobody died from calcium, nor magnesium, nor chromium or zinc. Not even colloidal silver, selenium, iron, or multimineral supplements. This is astonishing. Why we need more bureaucracy, more FDA regulation, more oversight coming from a Republican?
That's crazy.
Where is the free market? Where is the acknowledgement of the danger of that which is government approved and sanctioned? We should be encouraging innovation in the natural healing realm. You want to, you know, really clear up the problem with the disease management? Just free up all the natural substances so people can know what they are and if they want to use them or not. It's not that difficult. Not that difficult. So over half the U.S. population takes daily nutritional supplements, and even if each of these people took only one single tablet daily, that makes 154 million individual doses per day for a total of over 56 billion doses annually. And of course, we're really, if we're realistic about this, people are taking multiple things. So it's well into the hundreds and maybe thousands of billions. Still doesn't approach the national debt, but therein lies the safety, I should say, in this regard. So in all of this, where in the mainstream of American media is there any report of the fact that there have been zero deaths annually from the dietary supplement industry? Is it an oversight? Is it an accident? Or is there a major league bias against natural healing substances and natural healing methods in a country rich with a tradition and heritage in natural medicine?
So what is John McShane thinking?
How many medicines is this guy on? To now posit that we've got an economy that is in a shambles in many ways, and one of the bright spots in our economy is actually the natural products dietary supplement industry. People are wanting to go more healthy and holistic. We got to argue against that. A lot of great innovation is happening there. And this attack, and I'll have links to it on my blog, Michael, at robertscottbell.blogspot.com. You can check it out. Would roll back these things and make it only available should the government approve. You're going to start seeing less access, and of course, the prices will skyrocket for that which is left. And also, we talk about the price of the existing healthcare system, right? And I call it a disease management system in truth, because it's not really healthcare. But there's a link as well to this story. What costs $282 million an hour? And I quote from this article, health spending as a percent of GDP, a key metric that shows how much of all U.S. spending goes to healthcare, rose from 16.2% in 2008 to 17.3% in 2009, far higher than any other industrialized country.
Well, how does that work?
Because we have too much government and too little freedom when it comes to the care of our health. And who in Washington, D.C., other than a very few champions of liberty, acknowledge that? That we've got too much interference in the healthcare system, and that is the disaster. That's why we can't afford, those of us out there can't afford what we call healthcare, disease management. But we don't have freedom in healthcare, freedom in healing in America. Where was it that freedom was a good idea in the foundations of our country, but when it comes to healthcare, no, we can't have that. That is the one exception. Doesn't work. We need a monopoly. And quite honestly, the Republicans have partaken and participated in creating that monopoly through what we call corporatism. And of course, in the Obama style, it's socialism. And you think because Scott Brown was elected as a new senator out of Massachusetts that Obama's given up on his health care reform dreams? Not on your life. Maybe on your life, in fact. We've got word now that he's still trying. And there's interesting things coming out of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. Is there going to be more secrecy? Are we going to get transparency?
I don't think so. Play the clip.
I don't control the negotiations that go on between the House and the Senate or the conversations. I provide technical support across the board.
So you're saying that your staff isn't anything there more than just for technical support? They're not involved in any negotiations representing the White House or anything like that?
Sir, I have conversations on a regular basis with Republicans and Democrats, but I don't convene the House and the Senate, and I'm not a principal in the negotiations, nor are my staff.
What?
Now, let me explain what Sebelius is saying here. Basically, she's disavowing any knowledge, really, and participation of the so-called secrecy of the Obama health care plan and their continued efforts to destroy what is left of freedom, along with, as I mentioned, John McCain now, who's partaking in this. But I want to interpret this because basically what Sebelius is saying, hey, I'm just part of the bureaucratic oligarchy. You'll have to talk to someone from the legislative branch of government, right? To which if you try to do that, you go to somebody in the legislative branch, they're going to say, hey, I'm just from Congress. We only pass the laws here. We don't write the rules. And so then they send you back to the bureaucratic oligarchy and HHS where they're writing and implementing these things. And they say, hey, it's not us. They did it. And they blame each other. No one takes responsibility. And it's maddening, absolutely maddening by design to hopefully get the American people to just give up. Shrug it off and say, well, we can't fight City Hall.
It's insane. Only a more savage nation can survive, and here we've turned to the left.
As we try to establish liberty back on our shores here, and we acknowledge now that, you know, establishment Republicans like McCain are participating in this global governance and harmonization, and of course, the basically trampling of the freedoms of the little guy out there, all the people that just want to live free of this government intrusion. You know, we've got to acknowledge that we're not going to get solutions from the people who created the problems, whether they be a Democrat whose DNA is programmed for a bloated bureaucracy or the crotchety old guard of any of the establishment parties here. And we've got the political elite. I think they're just begging to be replaced now because they're throwing caution to the wind with this. You've got healthcare disasters happening, and now McCain is going after it saying, no more freedom for you. You want dietary supplements? No, I'm going to make sure that we protect you from them. Meanwhile, like we acknowledge now, zero deaths in the last 2 years, whereas the FDA-approved medicines causing all kinds of havoc, death, mayhem, and destruction. Right there in their own medical journals, they acknowledge this. Now, when you do this, you realize McCain has no defense for what he's doing, but the American people, the Savage Nation listeners, need to go on the offensive in order to salvage our over two centuries old American experiment in freedom so that it shall not perish from this earth, and so that our kids and grandkids have a land of liberty in which to grow and flourish. If the Republicans won't stand for that liberty, who will? Will you? Well, I'm encouraging you to do so, and I appreciate, Michael, every opportunity we have together to get the word out. Those of you who want to check on some of these links and some audio and such, you can check it out at my blog at robertscottbell.blogspot.com. Appreciate the opportunity, as always.
Thanks for the report, Robert.
Savage.
Here are some additional stories that we must talk about the rest of this week, because on Thursday, Iran is set to punch us with a punch that will stun us during the anniversary of their so-called Islamic Revolution. That's what they said yesterday. So far, there's been no response from anyone in the U.S., so far as I know. Now, on my website, I found out today that 65,000 people have already signed up to get my name off the list of being banned in Britain. It costs nothing. 65,000 people have already added their names to this list. Please go to my website and add your name to this list. I do not share it with anyone. McCain takes on GOP foe by tilting to the right. Huh? Now? Finally? John McCain, of course, is running for his life in Arizona. My suspicion is that J.D. Hayworth is going to just knock him off his pedestal. McCain is finished. J.D. Hayworth is a wonderful man. J.D. Hayworth is a true conservative. J.D. Hayworth knows what he's talking about. J.D. Hayworth is not faking his conservative credentials. J.D. Hayworth is a patriot. J.D. Hayworth has his sights set on John McCain, the one senior senator from Arizona who threw it all away. And now Mr. Hayworth, a former Republican congressman from California, is running against McCain. He will be formally announcing next week what everyone in Arizona has known for months, and that is he's going to challenge McCain in the Republican primary in August. Let's hope J.D. Hayworth beats McCain in the primaries and goes for the gold, and we have another real Republican, this time in Barry Goldwater's backyard. Here are the last stories on michaelsavage.com that you don't want to miss. I'm going to go to the bottom now because there are just so many. There's too many for me to read to you, by the way. A Christian teacher was forced out of a school in London. A Christian teacher forced out of a school in London after complaining Muslim pupils praised 9/11 hijackers as heroes. Muslim students said, "We want to be Islamic bombers when we grow up, and the Christians and the Jews are our enemies." And they threw a Christian teacher out in London. You hear this? Maybe you should be proud that I'm banned in Britain, to be honest with you. It's unbelievable to me. Super Bowl ads featured henpecked males feeling sorry for themselves, and you wonder why America, you wonder why America is what it is today? You go to a mall, you hear whiny chick music. Wherever you go, where have all the baritones gone? That's what I've been asking today. Where have all the baritones gone? D.C. Blizzard rearranges climate change announcement. Planned Parenthood pushes intensive sex ed for kids. Anything else new under the sun? It's all there on michaelsavage.com. Well, I turn on the TV and here's what Michelle Obama says is the biggest threat to the world.
We're all here today because we care deeply about the health and well-being of not just these kids up here, but for all kids like them all across the country. And clearly we're determined to finally take on one of the most serious threats to their future. And that's the epidemic of childhood obesity in America today.
My God, she's almost as off the beam as her husband, Barack. Listen.
Hello, everybody. I am glad to see that all of you braved the weather to be here. A little while ago, I had a meeting with the Democratic and Republican congressional leaders, and it went very well. In fact, I understand that McConnell and Reid are out doing snow angels in the South Lawn together. Can you picture that, Chuck? Not really.
And how is he responding to the Hitler of Iran?
I think that we have bent over backwards to say to the Islamic Republic of Iran that we are willing to have a constructive conversation about how they can align themselves with international norms and rules and re-enter as full members of the international community.
How weak sounding. Whatever happened to Obama's celebrated speaking ability?
Hello, everybody. I understand that there are many issues Iran and 6 months or 8 months or 9 months if the
So I guess my answer would be this. I think that Iran there's got to be some give and take.
And you thought Bush was bad? But just like Bush, he wants to put it before the UN.
One of the difficulties in dealing with Iran over the last several months is it's not always clear who's speaking on behalf of the government, and we get a lot of different mixed signals. But what's clear is that they have not said yes to an agreement that Russia, China, Germany, France, Great Britain, and the United States all said was a good deal, and that the director of the IAEA said was the right thing to do and that Iran should accept. We are going to be looking at a variety of ways in which countries indicate to Iran that their approach is unacceptable.
My God, and meanwhile, the government media complex is crying in its beer over the death of the pork barrel Marine-hating John Murtha.
It's a big loss to Pennsylvania because his seniority meant a lot. He did a great deal for Johnstown and his congressional district. As an appropriator, and I'm one myself, the Constitution gives us the authority to appropriate money. And people said he gave too much to his congressional district. Well, I don't think a congressman could do that.
I'm going to get a little choked up here. I miss him already. I went to Capitol Hill as an aide almost 30 years ago.
Maybe you can get choked up over the state of your nation once in a while instead of one of your Democrats.
Savage. For all things news and talk radio, visit TRN.